wine.
Dog and child.
It's Word Salad with Amelia Discreet. Only on 95 BFM.
That's a good band name. Dog and Child. Folk music.
Oh, extremely yeah. Folk music.
Very folk rock.
You got to call your folk rock band after a pub.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Dog and Child. Would that be a good pub name? Child isn't really a pub thing.
Yeah, well, so the reason... Do we want to talk about why pubs have names like that?
Yeah, let's do that, and then let's pivot into word salad territory.
So basically, the names of pubs come from they used to have pictures on signs that people couldn't read, right? In the deep past. So you would have a picture outside on your pub. And so it would either be... the arms of like a famous person who'd been to your pub, like some duke or whatever would come.
The king's arms.
And yeah, and so the king would come in and you'd be like, oh, you had such a good time, eh? I gave you my best scrumpy. You slept in the nicest bed. Can we put your arms outside so everyone knows we're like king style? We're like duke quality. And they'd be like, yeah. And so you'd be like the Duke of Wellington's arms or whatever. Or if their arms was like a gold cross on a blue background, you'd be like the Yellow Cross or something.
I have to say, I fully know we're talking about like a coat of arms, but the more we say it, the more I'm just imagining two pictures of hands and arms.
Well, I mean, if you were on the Isle of Man, it might just be three legs or whatever.
Yeah, or the three jugs.
I didn't know that. It's fascinating. Thanks,
yeah,
Amelia.
But if there was like a local landmark, you might paint that on the thing.
I'm thinking about various pubs around Auckland now. And what pictures they may have had.
I mean, the New Zealand ones are kind of just aping the tradition, but right. Some of the ones in England are legitimately like hundreds of years old and used to be the old boot because their sign was just a boot hanging on a stick. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
I enjoyed it though. Nice tangent. What are we talking about?
We're going a little bit Reader's Digest today, and I just want to go through some weird old proverbs.
Yes, I'm into it.
Yeah. So like proverb... as a word is not hugely exciting. It means pretty much exactly what you think it means and comes from through old French straight from the Latin proverbium.
Okay.
Like it hasn't changed that much. And it just means words put forth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is pretty much what it is. And I think it's quite interesting that we've still got this word more or less unchanged for thousands of years because some of the proverbs that we use are still...
Old as the hills. Old as a boot.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, the classic, the biblical ones. These are not super interesting because everyone knows them. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Pride comes before a fall.
I've never heard either
no
of those.
No rest for the wicked.
Oh, I know that one.
I didn't know that one came from the Bible, to be honest.
Yeah. A lot of stuff, a lot of them came from the Bible. It's interesting because some of the like the phrases get popular at different times depending on like what translation of the Bible it is, especially when it got translated into the Vulgate, because it used to be in Latin just for fancy Latin people. And so when it got translated into language everyone could speak, they made it so it sounded real good.
Is that where the word vulgar comes from?
I think it might be the other way around. We can look into that at a different time. But
park that one for another.
It means like the common people. It's like vulgar is like poor, basically. It's like ordinary people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's like not posh. But yeah, and so like when they translated it into like, say, English, they were like, well, instead of saying if you don't hit your child, then they get all pissy, you say spare the rod, spoil the child. And everyone's like, wow, that sounds so good.
Snappy.
Damn, I love that.
I am notorious for getting these wrong. And like saying, I think once in high school I said during a speech I meant to say something opened a can of worms, but I said it opened a can of beans. And I think everyone was like, what?
I mean, sometimes it's inappropriate to open a can of beans.
Yeah. But you know. I think I need a lesson in these because, quite often get them wrong.
Is there a word for getting it wrong? Is that a thing as well?
I would say it's probably closest to like a malapropism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which we talked about several weeks ago.
Which we did talk about before.
If you want to find that, it's in the B-casts.
I think my absolute favourite source for a proverb, and this one has become hugely popular in the like last 20 years, is "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger," which is Nietzsche. Nietzsche wrote that.
Kelly Clarkson.
Nietzsche came up with that in the 1880s.
Wow.
In his book, Twilight of the Idols.
That's pretty righteous. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's not like this ancient special wise thing, and it's not like weird folk wisdom.
Yeah.
It's it's anti-nihilist, uber-mensch, sick old German man. Nietzsche came up with it.
What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And then Kelly Clarkson took it and ran with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pop career.
When is Kelly Clarkson going to release a song called God is Dead? That's what I want to know. That's my absolute favorite. I'd like to hear if people have favorite proverbs.
Yeah, text in your favorite proverbs, please. 5395.
Text them. Do you two have any favorite proverbs?
I was just looking some up, and there are some seriously interesting ones. Like this one, it says, don't become broke by trying to look rich. I don't understand what that means.
I also feel like that one.
Is that like...
is that not real?
Champagne tastes on a beer budget.
That seems... Yeah, that seems... I don't know about that one. I mean, it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made me feel bad too.
I'll buy myself a nice jacket if I want one.
Are they meant to be uplifting?
They're just meant to be like... It's just meant to be like an easily digestible piece of knowledge.
Mm. Okay.
And so, actually, I did look up because my dad went kind of was very obsessed with these when I was growing up, and he would just say it instead of talking to you. Sorry, I thought this was therapy for a second. He's never listened to this station, so it's fine.
Hi, Amelia's dad.
Still therapy. Like he would just say, a stitch in time saves nine.
Asking if I could borrow the car keys.
Devil's in the details.
Yeah, so what's devil's in the details?
If it that ain't one... broke, don't fix it.
Oh, I know that.
That one's a classic. What is the devil's in the details one? Because I've never really quite understood what that one is about.
It means like doing a thing can seem easy, but like the difficult bit is making all of the small pieces of it seem right.
Yeah.
Do you know where that one's originating from?
I don't know
from?
Where that one... See, most of them, like, they just kind of appear. Not all of them are like, it was Nietzsche. Nietzsche made this up.
Nietzsche specifically.
Mustachioed horse lover Friedrich Nietzsche just invented this. Poor Nietzsche.
What happened to Nietzsche?
He went mad. He had syphilis and he got... If you don't treat syphilis, it eats your brain and you go crazy. And he had a breakdown in the street and threw his arms around a cart horse and was like, they shouldn't be doing this to you. This is so terrible. And then he lived the rest of his life in a mental asylum.
But he did come up with that
popular proverb.
I've got a question.
Yeah?
You know when your parents would say to you, the wind will change if you leave your face like that? Was that a thing? Was that a proverb?
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much a proverb.
What's that one mean?
Just don't pull faces.
It's just like... It's
you'll
just,
get stuck like that.
Yeah, the idea is like, you know, be careful because that might end up being your whole situation.
Okay.
Someone's texted in, and I'm not sure if it's actually... I think it's a proverb. Morality is the herding instinct of the individual. Or is that a commentary
sounds like
on
Nietzsche. That might just be Nietzsche.
Okay. This has just
become... I love that people are texting in Nietzsche quotes now. Where I was going with that story about my dad is that... often, when a proverb stops being something that you can go, that seems like good advice, and starts just being like, we could call it a platitude.
Oh.
And a platitude I really like because it comes from the French meaning like flat words. It's like, it's just boring. It's just like flat. It's nothing.
That makes a lot of sense.
But so I was looking up, I want to try and find some like proper old stuff. So I found a book of English proverbs from the 1000s, which includes...
That is old boot territory.
some good ones. It is a hard cheese that the greedy man does not give to his dogs.
What? I think I kind of get what that might mean. Is that being like...
You should be careful what someone who's greedy gives you, because it's probably really shit. It's the hard bit of the... It's the like the bit of the cheese that's
the
turned a darker
bit.
Yellow
yeah.
and is like kind of chewy.
Stale. When your flatmate doesn't put the glad wrap back around the edge of the cheese.
Or the lid on the container properly.
It is not the lowliest of virtues to have placed a limit on your wealth.
Not the lowliest of... Oh, yeah.
Yep. Not wanting to be the richest possible person is actually quite cool.
At Jeff Bezos.
Whoever hates his work surely hated himself first.
Hopefully no one's listening to that this one on the way to really, their job.
That one didn't really survive the Industrial Revolution.
No.
I have to say, these are not ones that I've ever heard before.
When you trade one fish for another, one of them stinks.
What?
So if you have to, if someone wants to swap you one of the same thing, probably the thing that they want to swap you has something wrong with it.
Yeah.
That makes
sense.
You'll
end up with something broken.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'll swap your shiny Charizard for my shiny Charizard. Their shiny Charizard probably has a crease in it or is not from the first edition set.
Wise words.
What's that in the original Greek?
Oh, no. I've found a wrong... I've gone to the wrong page. I have more
of these. Someone's texted in, it's a hard row to hoe, and apparently everyone always says it road, but it's actually row. Because you hoe
the rows in your garden.
You
hoe the individual rows.
But you don't really actually hoe a road.
That brings me to a different kind of row.
Someone said, friends are God's apology for relations. Is that one, or is that just a joke?
That seems good.
That's a good one.
I mean, like, there's no, like, big book that gets to say what is a proverb or not, you know?
Someone's texted in all capitals, which makes me feel like it came from the Bible, probably because it also has the word thou in it. And it harm none do what thou wilt.
No, I think that might be Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
Are people testing me? What Aleister Crowley said, do what thou wilt, is the whole of the law. I don't know. He maybe phrased it like that. Anyway, that's like a Satanism
thing.
They
actually have... that's a different... Oh, okay.
So there's
one... The riper the berry, the sweeter the juice? Don't like that one. Thanks, Texter, though.
So there's a painting by Bruegel called Nederlandish Proverbs.
Okay.
This is really exciting because it preserves a whole lot of...
Can you timestamp us Bruegel quickly? What era are we talking about here?
Like 1400s, 1500s, off the top of my head. So it preserves a whole lot of, like, essentially early Renaissance Dutch proverbs. And there are some good ones. Putting a bell on a cat...
Oh, yeah?
Is doing something dangerous or impractical.
That checks out.
There are some classic ones. Being armed to the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
One shears sheep, the other shears pigs, is what you say about
who
when one person has everything and the other person has nothing.
Oh, yeah.
The herring does not fry here, is what you say when things aren't going according to plan.
The herring like the fish.
Yeah, okay, there's a lot about herring. To fry the whole herring for the sake of the roe.
What does that mean?
It means you just want the little tasty eggs, but you fried the whole, you cooked the whole fish.
I was thinking of a different kind of roe. Too many roes.
There is more in it than an empty herring.
They love herrings.
There is more to it than meets the eye. The Dutch love herrings. To be a hen feeler, I really like that one.
Ugh, what does that mean?
It's when you're trying to figure out if there are eggs in your chicken.
Oh my god.
And it just means like to be miserly, so you might call someone a hen feeler.
You hen feeler. Use that one today, folks. We could keep going on this for literally hours, I feel, so we might have to wrap it up.
Oh wait, I've got one more that I would like to say.
Hit us with a grand finale.
Oh no, where is it?
Quick scroll.
One bee in the city is preferable to countless flies.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Thank you very much, Amelia Discreet. I've enjoyed Word Salad immensely this morning. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word Salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.